Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. In the fullness of time. This morning I'd like to deviate from our study of the Gospel of Luke and spend a little bit of time focused on Christmas. I'd like to focus our time this morning on Jesus' birth from the viewpoint of the punctiliar point of the event. I love that word, punctiliar. It's just fun to say. I love that word, actually. I'd like to focus on the fullness of time. Jesus was born. Chuck just read for us. I'm going to read it again. Verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, remember that phrase, fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. We're not going to go through all the theology of that passage. I'm going to focus on what Paul meant by the fullness of time. Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia about 30 years after Jesus' birth. After Jesus' death. And he speaks of the fullness of time. That's where I'd like to focus. What does Paul mean by the fullness of time? We believe that Jesus was born sometime between 6 and 4 BC. It's unfortunate that when Dionysius, a 6th century monk, devised the new calendar system that we use today, he was setting up a system that would divide history, his calculations, and so of history being 4 to 6 years earlier than what the calendar reflects. He had some significant calculation errors. It's caused some real confusion ever since, but let's just accept that Jesus was 4 to 6 BC or BCE for secular scholars. You've probably heard me talk about the Levant before. The Levant is that section of the world that joins Africa, Europe, and Asia together. It is a unique piece of dirt in the world. It was very strategic in the expansion of Egypt coming north. It was very strategic in Babylon coming west, Assyria coming south, Alexander the Great coming east, and Rome coming east and south. It was ground zero for a great number of battles involving those expansions. The Levant is also an economic crossroads. Very few goods could be shipped east or west without crossing the Levant. Shipping east or west over the water still required some access to the Levant. To go from the east to Europe would require sailing all the way around Africa. Dangerous. And so there was overland travel through the Levant. The Levant was the origin of three of the world's monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. This in itself was the source of many battles in the Levant. At the time of Jesus' birth, the Levant was dominated by the Roman Empire. The Romans practiced appointing regional kings, and so we have the Herodian dynasty. These regional kings were given rule by the emperor, but only as long as they served the interests of Rome. The Herodian dynasty was filled with political intrigue, background deals, and murders. The Herodian dynasty had varying levels of local control, but was always under the emperor's authority. Before Rome was the Hellenistic period, in which the rule of the Levant was held by Alexander the Great, and at his early death by his four generals, notably the Ptolemaic and Seleucid dynasties. Alexander the Great conquered the Levant in 332 BC, and he died at the age of 32 in 323 BC. So 320 years before Jesus is born, Alexander the Great conquers this region for Macedonian, we call it Greek today, people. He then dies, and the territory is split up among his four primary generals. Two of them, Ptolemy and Seleucid, became the power brokers, and they were the ones that kept control over the territory. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 21 and 22, we read, "And the goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king. As for the horn that was broken, in place of which four others arose, four kingdoms shall arise, but not with his power." 300 years before, Daniel prophesies that a Greek king would take the area, and then his kingdom would be divided into four. It's exactly what happened. Alexander the Great conquers the India, full of King Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great's conquest of the Levant and even further east brought several things into the Levant and into Israel. The major benefit to the Levant that Alex brought was a common language for trade and commerce. Everybody began today Greek, classical Greek. It was now possible for the people in the Levant to communicate faithfully in other regions. From India to Europe, they all facilitated greater communication and cooperation between the regions. The Levant was now communicating well with each other, east to west. During the Hellenistic period, Israel was granted the right to practice their own religious activities. Unlike all Israel practice their own religious activities. It's important to not overlook this reality. Sacrifices were still in the temple in Jerusalem. Synagogues were being built in this post-exile, and they were teaching the fundamentals of Judaism all over the Levant. This was different than most of Alexander's kingdom. The rest of the empire was forced to worship Greek god Zeus. Into the multiple gods, everything had a god. But Israel was allowed to continue to persist them. During the period of the Seleucids and the Ptolemies dynasties, Rome begins to grow in the west. Eventually, the Roman Empire would be powerful enough, and it would take control of the Levant. In 63 BC, Pompey the Great annexed the Levant into the Roman Empire. Seleucids lost the control of that area. The Levant of Rome. The Levant would remain under the control of Rome, or later, which would morph into the Byzantine Empire, until the 7th century AD. Stability to the Levant. During this Hellenistic period, frequent battles occurred between the two. There was always fight of who would have control. The Seleucids would come up, the Ptolemies would come down from what was Assyria, and they would fight in Israel. And that could be in Jews revolted against the Seleucid dynasties, and for a period had a victory, and they were able to reestablish sacrifices, and they were able to reestablish. We sell in Hanukkah. Rome brought to them, though, a peace. Rome brought to them a road system. Rome brought to them a postal. Travel over the overland was now sending mail, much like in West Pony Express, facilitated written communication moving from city to city with rapid progress. Rome also permitted Israel to continue within pagan religious practices required by most other religions. We don't often talk about the practice of Judaism during this period of time and what that brings to our understanding of the one of the greatest prophetic aspirations is the Messiah, sometimes Jewish expectation. There was a building coming, seemed like a bit more granted, a little bit was coming, but not just my 23, verse 5, and declares branch, and he shall reign and shall act righteousness, saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which the Lord righteous anticipated their Messiah to be coming. Time went on. It seemed like it was getting nearer and nearer. There will be no gloom. And he brought into contention in the land of. In the latter time, he was made glorious by the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan. Walked in darkness, have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of darkness, and them on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. The yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on this day in Midian. For every foot of the trapping warrior and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us the child is the son is given. Shall be upon his shoulder. Be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Government and Peace. There will be no end. Good, establish it in a post and with righteousness forth evermore. The Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. The coming Messiah was the central theme of the Old Testament. Also said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Bethlehem, lands of Judah, for me, who is coming from the ancient days. Control of the roads, travel, a postal system, and allowed the Jews. This was after Alexander the Levant. The Jews were anticipating, and he was coming soon. As we think about, we should realize that these things were the result of a this is planned. It all of their point in history. God orchestrated history to bring all of these things together at the time. The fullness to have Jesus born a virgin in the Levant prepared for this. God, part of history. From the fathers, from out the age he died, from the anticipation of Israel, needed for this very moment. I think the answer to that question is the moment of the central plan. This is more central to God's declared plan. A plan beginning shows us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Here. Before creation, before Satan and Adam's sin changed the world, before that happened, God had already written my name down in His book of life. God had already planned to save us. His church. The plan included for this very punctilious. Fullness was the next visible step in the plan. The next visible step was the birth of the Messiah to a virgin lamb. The descendant of King David was engaged to King David. In Bethlehem, it was because of a census, the governor, because the Romans be in power. The child born to a virgin, both man and God, not in the fashion of the religious system understood, of somebody ascending to become or being half God, but being 100% man at the same time, the same place, which doesn't work. Here you in the baby Jesus, life, stubbed toes, coughs, and persecution from the government. We're up at a time when coming increasingly to the Jews, diaper baby, to live like. Not Jesus was born to become and cross 33.5 miles south of Jerusalem. He would be marched out Jerusalem, where he would die for sins he didn't commit. Christ, he didn't know plan created. And Adam would do that, their sin into a state of rejection, making the world an enemy of God. Mercy and grace to us also knew that his nature required perfection, righteousness, and holiness. God's included as human while remaining divine. God's plans the God-man going to the cross to be propitiates. It was in the fullness of time that Jesus came to be the first baby of Mary and the stepson of Joseph. When he for the payment, the language was right, the peace was right, the roads were right, the anticipation of the Jews. Jesus was born at a very, according to the perfect Jesus would grow up and learn a trade. He'd get baptized, select followers, teach about his kingdom, and perform messianic miracles. All a cross that caused him immeasurable pain, both physically and spiritually. Bowed to the will of the Father. Planned to become the propitiation for us. The price was paid with the plan still. Jesus returned to heaven, preparing to come and retrieve his from the church. Christmas is God's perfect plan, displayed to the world so that the shepherds would and come. They would perfectly come within a couple of years worship Jesus. It was time when the word spoke in his plan. We've received the very blessing of that plan. We've received Jesus born to raise us and to the thank you that is to names be anything before there will be born. You had already paid the price for then you orchestrated a specific time where you were preparing the world for Jesus so he would die on a Roman cross. So his followers could then spread the gospel around Asia and Europe and eventually around the world. All because of your perfect plan that never has to beat. Thank you for choosing us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.